heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
It's safe to say now, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, he's pretty much become the public face now of this Democratic impeachment drive. I mean, Pelosi has the wheel a bit there, but Schiff is certainly in the forefront of this, and it's getting uglier by the moment. This is got to be the most bizarre political cycle. I don't know, in our lives for sure, maybe probably in the history of the Republic, I guess, potentially, but it is bizarre. It's a wonderland moment. It's hard to follow some of the stuff, I know, for a lot of you out there. I know it's hard for me to follow it, let alone that. Well, the president called on Schiff to resign, which would be a hell of a theory if he would take him up on that. And he suggested that he be investigated and potentially jailed for treason. Now, of course, a lot of people got pretty shaken up with the word treason. But we throw those words around a lot today. Treason, impeachment, these are just words we throw around. Nobody really knows what they mean. Mueller, the whole Russia collusion, you know, it's just the same words we keep talking about. So Trump has tweeted about Adam Schiff probably about a dozen or more times here just since they had the DNI, Joseph McGuire, there was on the Hill, and they were doing the unintelligent discussion there with him, as you recall, about the whistleblower complaint and all. It was quite a spectacle, of course. I think the biggest problem I'm concerned with, and you probably should be as well, is that, you know, somewhere in all of this fabrication and lies, the truth is there somewhere. It's really difficult to grab onto that truth because there is no truth in any aspect of the media or the political heads. And I think that's where a lot of people have really started to turn this thing off. And I know a lot of Americans are just so disgusted with the whole thing. I mean, and that's the biggest worry I think we have, is they're barely paying attention. And the problem with that, people, is they're not paying attention to the facts. And then what's happening is they just get the data points and they just know Trump is always in trouble. You know, so he's always being scolded. Let's put it that way. He's always being scolded and sent to bed, right? I mean, it's constant drip, 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 drip. It's been several years. I've been seeing a lot of these campus sort of things where they go to the college campuses and they ask them, you know, who do you think the scandal is with? And I mean, those are always kind of interesting because it's a little bit of a barometer at the moment about how people are thinking about there, and more specifically, how our young folks are thinking, you know, the upcoming generation. And, you know, almost always, no matter what college campus you go on, they have Trump guilty pretty much because, again, it's that drip, drip, drip pattern. And that's where the Democrats have been very, very successful, quite frankly. It doesn't matter if it's true or not or what have you. It's just keep throwing it out there. And it's what happens. Steve Scalise, he says, radicals and socialists have taken over the Democrat Party. He puts in a tweet here. They're calling all the shots now. We've been talking about that for a while and reporting about that, but now it's true, actually. They are calling all the shots here. He said just last week they pressured Pelosi into launching a baseless impeachment inquiry based on false rumors and left-wing rage. This is a witch hunt of course, real Donald Trump. Plain and simple. A lot of people are seeing it that way. But again, at the head of this class is Adam Schiff. And of course, I love his nickname. Affectionately, they call it Schiff for Brains. Schiff for Brains. And we're going to talk about Schiff for Brains right now next year. I'm going to bring on Colonel Jim Warshuk. And let's have a conversation a bit about this Schiff for Brains here. So Warshuk is retired from the United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence special missions officer, former deputy director of intelligence at U.S. Central Command, and served on the White House National Security Council staff as intelligence aide to the National Security Advisor. He has been knee-deep in all this stuff, looking at Schiff for Brains, I guess, Jim, be the way I see it. I mean, that's a kind of a pop culture term out there that has caught on to people. But, you know, if you look at where Schiff has been and a lot of the smoke and mirrors behind this thing, it's starting to look like there's another side to this thing nobody is really talking about. So one of the Trump tweets that Trump put out here about Schiff, he says, Representative Adam Schiff illegally made up a fake and terrible statement, pretended it to be mine as the most important part of my call to the Ukrainian president, and read it aloud to Congress and the American people. And might I add to you, millions of people around the world were looking at that, by the way. Trump goes on to say, it bore no relationship to what I said on the call. And then he says, arrest for treason. That's what I was telling you a few moments ago, arrest for treason. Jim, let's talk about that tweet a moment, in that they've called it a parody. Other people have called it right out lies. Why, you know, when that was going on, I was questioning myself as to why the Republicans didn't stand. I started seeing their body language and the looks on their faces. They were a bit in shock, I guess. I think they were totally sideswiped. They couldn't believe Schiff had done that. But what I was wondering at that moment is, why didn't the Republicans stand up? Why didn't they all just stand up and just threaten to walk out of there? I mean, make a complete spectacle of the whole case. And since then, they've not called him on censure or anything. And it's illegal to do that on the House floor. What gives it?
Well, I'm not sure whether the Republicans were totally aware of what he was doing. That kind of came out. And, you know, if those who were there certainly could have done that. The post-play analysis, so to speak, where that was all broken down to where he said what he said, was more, from what I see, an in-your-face, you know, poke in the eye. But at the same time, there's a strategic purpose behind it. And the big thing here that everyone needs to kind of take a step back and look at is we've got two things going on here that the Democrats are scared to death of. The first is the forthcoming reports that are going to come out of the Justice Department with William Barr and John Durham and the FISA reports that are going to come out.
Yeah, I want to talk those to you about are, that those, too, a little bit after.
Yeah, those are, yeah. The Democrats are scared to death of that. The other thing is, mm-hmm. Trump opened up a can of worms on the Democrats by going into and addressing Ukraine.
Yep.
And this is the other big problem for the Democrats, because they are all knee deep in
Do you
Ukraine.
Think those two reasons are potentially why that they've jumped the gun with this impeachment? Are those two of the reasons?
They have nothing on the impeachment. They don't have any articles of impeachment to put forward. There's already been three votes taken within the House, predominantly by the Democrats under Pelosi, and she can't come up with a formal permanent committee on impeachment. All she can do is get this inquiry thing, which is really a lot about nothing. It's a lot of lip smacking and talking, and it, what we're seeing day in, day out, to give fodder to the media to talk about, oh, the impeachment's coming and Trump's going down and there's all this and he's a horrible president. It's all lip chatter. That's all it is. They have nothing. They can't get a formal, they can't get the votes to put forth a formal articles of impeachment that would subsequently then go to the Senate. And they all know that it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate.
Let's talk about this a moment here, yeah. What you say there about
why
they're not
doing this
it.
This is all distraction right now.
Some of the argument you're hearing, Jim, and I don't know if you can speak about this, but the fact that Pelosi hasn't done the formal inquiry, hasn't taken the vote, which, as you said, is very questionable as to where that would fall. But let's say she has the votes, as some are suggesting, and can get it through the House. So many are saying, well, she has an obligation to do that. Why hasn't she done that? And as you see, there are a lot of reports in the news media that conservative outlets are saying, wait a minute, by her not doing that, they can't represent themselves. The minority has no voice. I mean, they can't do subpoenas. They can't do other things. They can't get involved. So is this part of the strategy for Pelosi, do you think, not to do that? Is that strategic in nature?
Well, I think she realizes let's leave the far left radical side out of it. It's the far left radical side that's driving this whole impeachment frenzy.
Yeah.
Realistically, at the moderate level, not to say that Pelosi is a moderate, but the reality is there's nothing there. It's not going to happen. They don't have that. And that's what she's aware of. And for her to not be able to bring anything forward, it's gonna blow back big time on her. And it's gonna hand it right to Trump, and you know Trump's gonna go on and win the election. Not that he isn't already. They are doing everything. This goes back again, as I said, they are scared to death of the forthcoming reports, and I'm convinced there's going to be indictments, because why even bother do these investigations? Why even bother, you know, Barr, you know, traveling all around the world to talk to foreign governments to find out what they've been told to do by the previous administration? Why bother do all that if you're not going to do anything? They're scared to death of Barr and Durham and what's coming forward. And here's the other thing. The word is they want this impeachment deal in the House done before the holidays in December, when the House and Senate go into recession, and we start the next year in January. Once January comes, it's full blown election season, and you know Barr is going to be doing his stuff, and they're just trying to get ahead of that. They're right, desperate.
If they're trying to push this through, as many are saying, and they're trying to put it on fast speed, do you think they've thought this all through? I know you probably would say no, they haven't, but it's a serious question. Have they really thought this all through? Because right now, if you look at all of this, you know, you see the fact that they're on this fast speed. If it does get to the Senate, and McConnell came out the other day and said, okay, I will have to take this up. I mean, I don't have a choice. It's the Senate rules, because they were questioning him. And of course, it was a question that was posed by the media, sort of a trickery question, Jim, like, because if McConnell had said, no, I'm not going to take this up, well, the media would have been all over that one, as you know what. Oh, McConnell's breaking. He's not following the rules. He can't do this. I mean, that would have been the next scandal. So obviously McConnell's, yeah, I don't have a choice. I got to go along with it. But the point is, if it gets into the Senate, that gives the Republicans a defense. The conservatives then have a defense. So have they thought this all through? I mean, serious.
They've fought it as far through as they can with regard to what Barr is doing.
But are they willing to have all this other evidence flushed out, is what I'm asking you? If this gets into the Senate.
You know, at this point in time, you go all out, you do whatever and see what happens.
So it's a Hail Mary. It's a Hail Mary, basically.
It's a Hail Mary, absolutely. Good. That's exactly what it is. Because what's going to happen when it goes into the Senate, it's maximum a two-week affair in the Senate, and it's done. The Senate is not going to go on for months like the House likes to do, with all this drivel and play for, you know, news sound bites every day. The Senate is going to get this. The Senate is going to get this over with. And then the election campaign is going to take over. And if they don't have something, they don't have sound bites, and they can't say the president has been impeached. They got nothing. They lost the election. And here's what's going to happen in the Senate. The other thing is, this is the opportunity where Trump, even though he doesn't participate in the Senate hearings, the Senate will put the Democrats on trial.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's exactly what I'm asking you.
That's what that will do. And that will be, like I said, a two-week affair. And you'll have your sound bites to go forward into the election, that the Democrats failed, that they blew it. They didn't have anything. They made it all up. It was all a big charade. And that's the end of them. And at the same time, you know, now you get into all, here's the other sound bites are going to come. What's going to happen with Biden? What's going to come out of all this connection now that's coming out with Ukraine, with Pelosi?
Well, let me answer that. Let me answer that, please. If past history is any navigation here, I would say to you, nothing would happen. If past history, let me just be a wise ass for a minute with you. I would say nothing would happen with Biden. So what do you say to that?
Well, past history didn't include a guy named Donald Trump.
Well, I'm just talking about since Hillary Clinton has gotten off with everything. I'm just talking about in the last. I mean, and we'll get into these other investigations in a minute, but you know where I'm going. I mean,
in other words,
the public is a bit. They don't think there's ever going to be an indictment. And everybody's been talking about this for years, and people are losing faith of any justice. I mean, people have just lost total faith of the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the entire government. Alphabet soup, you know.
Well, I mean, they're losing faith in it because that's what the media is telling them to do. That's part of the narrative that's being pushed out. They don't want you to have trust in government. The only way you have trust in government is if you go back to the way it was under Obama. Everybody was got along great, and you know, the rhinos in the Republican Party got along with the Democrats and they let them do whatever they wanted. Can you imagine if we just flipped the coin here and put Donald Trump and Obama's as the president during Obama, and he was doing all the things with Fast and Furious and Benghazi and the Iran deal. If Donald Trump was doing all that, my God, there would have been 18
impeachments.
There would have been 18 impeachments.
Of course, nothing went wrong during the Obama administration. You could trust your government.
What is? Let's think a minute and step back before, because we're gonna peel the onion a little more here in a minute here. But what is behind all that? I mean, just think about what you say, and I don't think anybody can argue with what you just put out there. I mean, it's factually true. I mean, they would have him hanging. What is it behind this media that I don't think any of us could ever. It is bizarre. It is bizarre. I mean, what is their motive really? I mean, is it really to take the country down? I mean, what is their motive?
Well, I mean, the Obama administration's strategic policy, if you will, was to take the country down.
Change America
from a federal republic to a socialist.
Well, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, take America down as we knew it. Hillary Clinton
was going to be the third term of Obama. She was going to put the nail in the coffin of a place called America. That's what, you know, this whole strategy started when she hung up the phone from conceding to Donald Trump at whatever time it was, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It all started then. The strategy says, how do we reverse this? This wasn't supposed to happen. This isn't what the plan was. You were supposed to win. And how do we fix this? That's when the Russia collusion idea started. And the media, who have been the lapdogs of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years, whatever, you know, they are as obsessed with this whole thing.
Well, that's what I'm asking. It's
the Democrats are.
Yeah, well,
it's an obsession. They're so obsessed they can't turn back. You know, it's like
right.
We would to turn back and say, "Oh, we made a mistake." That would be just as bad as, you know, going through with everything. You know, they're in this time warp, I guess, and they can't get out of it. They're going to hopefully find something. Maybe we can turn enough Americans against Donald Trump. I don't think what they're doing is looking at, do you realize the Republican Party and Donald Trump in the last week have raised, you know, $18 or $25 million just because of the Ukraine phone call? They're not realizing what it's doing for him, and it's solidifying Trump's base. Trump has the base already to win. They're trying to peel people away from that, and I don't think they're going to do it, because I think people are smart enough now to realize what the whole game is, what this whole Russia collusion thing is, the Ukraine collusion, whatever collusion flavor of the week the Democrats want to put forward. It's all projection. It's all back on every single thing they've done.
Yeah, it is. The word I continue to use, Jim, is bizarre, but it's even more than bizarre. It's hard to put an adjective on it, quite frankly, here. I keep asking about the media because, you know, I understand what the Democrats are doing, the socialist Marxists and what they're up to. I mean, all right, we get that picture. I think we all got that. But what I can't for the life of me figure out how the media think this is going to be a positive ending. And actually, to your point just a moment ago, somebody's going to have to lose. I mean, at some point, as you just said, they're so far in it, they're so deep in it, so thick in it. Somebody is, you know, they don't want to quit. Nobody wants to say, oh, well, I made a mistake, or I stepped too far, or I went a little bit further than I should. And so then you have to draw the conclusion, well, somebody's going to have to lose. So that's really the question, people, who loses, right?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from?
Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
So when they say shift for brains, tell me what's the dirt on shift? You've been digging on this guy. I want to get right to the point here. What's the worst thing you've seen about this what do you want to call him, a congressman or a joker? Late night comedian, maybe.
Well, he's not performing the way he should be as a chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He's playing the whole game like the rest of the Democratic Party. They're not there to legislate and do their job as elected members of Congress on U.S. taxpayer salaries. They're doing their own thing, coming up with this sham investigation after investigation after investigation, on all types of collusion that we've been talking about. But when you look at Adam Schiff, you know, the guy, you know, he's the epitome of the word hypocrisy.
Hold on, you got a few other adjectives here too. Let me tell people right now, you have a blistering article up on AmericaOutloud.com. You even go further. You call him a grifter, a racketeer, a warmonger. And then here is what's behind his idiocy and radical hysteria. So what's behind all of it?
Well, this is, here's a guy who is trying to push all this stuff on to Donald Trump when he himself is totally emerged in all this. The guy, you know, he comes into Congress in 2002, he's backed every military action the U.S. Has been involved in, from Iraq, you know, all the way up to Syria. And a lot of other things, and he has taken money from every type of arms dealer and trader in the world, and one of which is a Ukrainian. And so when you look at the kind of things he's been doing, he is the biggest hypocrite in the world, and he's taken, you know, what I've been able to add up in money. You know, he has got to run for Congress every 2 years, and he's a sixth of all his campaign donations have come from arms dealers and arms suppliers to, right, you know, the war in Ukraine, to Syria, to stuff in Libya. I mean, the guy, he's an open door for anybody who wants to hand him money, and there's favoritism, and he makes deals with these folks for providing arms to these wars through the Department of Defense. So when we, and State Department. So when the U.S. provides arms, you know, contracts have to be made with the different weapons developers and arms dealers. And Adam Schiff is entertaining those folks in his office to make sure those deals go through and his pockets get lined with money. So here's a guy who's doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you want to use the word Schiff for brains, did he never think that this is going to catch up to him? How do you go out there and point the finger at somebody knowing that you got four fingers pointing back at you saying, well, look at you, look what you've done. And as I'm digging here, I'm finding more Nancy Pelosi. She's in the same position as Adam Schiff is. She's taking money from arms suppliers, and, you know, she's pointing the finger on Ukraine. And just so happens, her key legislative staffer in her office, mm-hmm, is a Ukrainian woman who's closely tied to the government of Ukraine, who's closely tied to the Ukraine intelligence service and to the Ukraine military. So you got to wonder, what do these people think when they point the finger at Trump, who's got no ties to any of these people?
I think what the media does so brilliantly, but more so the Democratic Socialist Marxist Party does so brilliantly, is they throw these curveballs out there, like this one right here. When you just said, well, what was wrong with that call with Zelensky? Most people would argue probably nothing. Of course, if you hated Trump before then, you would find a lot wrong with that phone call, Jim. You agree with that, right? Those who hate him, they find all kinds of things wrong with that phone call. But here's the thing now. When you really look at that, I think what happens is, if you look at the history over the past few years, they continue to throw curveballs, spitballs, sliders, sinkers, to use my old baseball metaphors here, just to screw up, well, the public, number one, the people, the American people, and confuse the hell out of people. And I think part and parcel is because then we spend our time on the right, and we spend our time, those who analyze this stuff, and even some of the media heads, not all, obviously, we spend all our time rebuking all those facts and data. Then we get into these tizzies like we did on the collusion, the Russia collusion thing for a good couple of years plus. But it's been a litany of then the obstruction, and it's been a whole bunch of charges. So what's happening is all of our time is going into playing defense. So here's the thing is, think of this as let's stay on the baseball metaphor. Think of this as a baseball game. And the Democrats are playing fantastic offense. I mean, they just continue to throw at us and throw at us and throw at us and throw at us. And we're sitting there aghast, and we can't, like I said, bizarre. I use the word bizarre. This is really bizarre. And then we spend all of our time trying to defend the indefendable. You can't defend some of this stuff. But it's all a pretty good strategy when you think about it, because we're so confused going from one thing to the next. I think often of this. I was thinking this morning, Jim, about this today, earlier today, about the fact that all of the energy that is sucked up in this stuff is truly, truly amazing. And I'm onto something here, because if I keep throwing enough at the wall, and I mean, they brilliantly have done it. I mean, they've pulled it off. And here we are talking about another crisis. We're trying to defend a phone call. And see, it really doesn't matter what it is. This could be anything. This could be the fact we didn't like how high he's building the wall on the southern border, and it's illegal, and he can't go that high. Anything is a crisis at this point. It doesn't really matter. We're not. My point is this, Jim. We're not getting to the bigger problem, number one. We consistently on the right side conservative Americans are not getting to the problem here. We're not. We're diving in all the time when they say it's that, you know, it's like they keep throwing bones at us, Jim. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Like, here's a bone. Here's another bone. Another bone. And we keep doing this. And I mean, the American people, they're going to be dizzy. I mean, is that a point or what? Tell me.
Well, that's one of the problems we have, because we have a constitutional republic and we have free speech, and anybody gets the right to say anything. If it was, you know, East Germany or Russia or wherever, you know, Trump could have sent the military to shut down every single media.
No. This ain't about Trump. It's about the American people. Why doesn't the right push back is what I'm asking. Why don't we say we're not going to play this game? We're not going to talk about Zelensky's phone call. Shut up. Why? Because let me tell you what. Even if we gave them an answer right now for Zelensky's phone call, Jim, next week it's going to be something else. What the hell difference does it make?
I agree with you. It's going to be something else.
So why bother?
I'm with you 100% on that.
Right.
But the reality is no one's going to listen to the Republicans if they say we've had enough and we're not going to entertain this anymore. You know, I think Trump has been trying to do that himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing what he has been able to do, at the same time put up his hand and try to defend himself on everything. You know, he doesn't have, I agree, he's got a handful of, you know, hardcore right. constitutional Republicans in the House and the Senate,
right.
And the rest are just, you know, milquetoast. They're just going to sit there and not say anything. And
you're being kind when you say milquetoast.
Well, I could say other things.
I respect that.
But,
milquetoast. All right.
But his army, if you will, 65 million or whatever the number is today, are angry. I guarantee you, if you go in the other direction, and people got upset the other day when he tweeted out about, and he used the word civil war, people got upset about that. And I'm glad he did say that, because that could very well happen. If the Democrats ever tried to impeach him, that would happen. And those 65 million would be up in arms over that, because they would know it.
Well, let me tell you what he said. Hold on. Let me tell you what he said. Actually, he didn't say that. What he did, and that's another thing that's out of context. The president does a lot of retweeting. He retweeted a tweet, is what he did. Here's the tweet. I have it right here. If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, and in parentheses, which they will never be, is what he says, okay? It will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal. Who said that was Pastor Robert Jeffries said that.
Right.
He retweeted it. And because the fact, you know, even when you retweet something doesn't mean it's exactly your words. I mean, we all retweet every day. It's not like we actually said it. We just said, okay, maybe there's something in there we agree with or whatever. But the point is, he got called on the carpet, you're right, for causing in fact, I seen all the headlines immediately, Jim. Oh, the president's calling for a civil war. He didn't call for a civil war. He never said anything like that. You see, there's another thing of the media taking out of context, right or wrong.
Oh, absolutely, and I know for a fact, or I certainly believe he tweeted that, knowing full well that's what they were going to do. Because anything he retweets, they automatically translate it to being he said it, or he's thinking that, or that's what he believes.
That's right.
But you have to understand one thing about Trump. He is deliberate in whatever he does,
pretty much.
And you know, I was talking to someone last night, and I said, you have to understand things are being played out and are being said because that's what people want you to believe. And sometimes Trump goes along with that. You know, when you go back to the whistleblower, and I've made the argument, well, there's really no whistleblower. He's a leaker.
That's
and
right.
He didn't write anything there. It was all written and handed. He was the cutout. They needed a legitimate person who worked perhaps at the CIA or in the intelligence community to go through the process of filing a complaint through the IG so that it would look formal. You just couldn't write it in Congress and hand it to the IG and say, here's a complaint. It doesn't work that way. They needed someone to actually walk down the hall and actually go through the motions and do that. And they had a guy who was willing to do that.
Do you think the Democrats have a sense right now that they're on the ropes a little bit with the charge you just put forth right there? Do you think they sense that at all? That they realize the other side sees this is a bit of a setup?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have to know that. I mean, when you fabricate something, you have to realize someone is going to be, you know, looking over your shoulder, is going to know, like, you're full of crap. That's not really the truth. You know, that whole whistleblower thing, this whole thing that we're involved in right now, why we're talking, was all fabricated. It was Russia collusion 2.0. Call it Ukraine collusion now. It's the same narrative. They knew that a weapons deal was made with the Ukraine back earlier in the year. I think it might have been even last year, and it was going through the process, and the stuff hadn't been delivered. And there's a process for all that to go through the logistics channels. And if you really read the arms deal that was there, you know, they had stuff coming out of NATO and everything. It was very, very complicated in the way it was. It wasn't like you just hand, you know, Amazon delivers the arms to the Ukrainians tomorrow. This was a very detailed effort that was in the works. And then we had we had an election in Ukraine and a new president, and Trump makes the phone call in July to say, you just want to make sure everything's okay. Right now, I've got the money on hold. We want to make sure everything's is fine. And that's what upset the Democrats and gave them reason. I guarantee that draft of that whistleblower complaint started to be written after May 20th,
right,
when Zelensky was elected. They just waited for the phone call so that they could, because inside the government, you know, You know the routine, the phone calls are going to come. You know who's going to be drafting the talking points for that phone call from within the interagency, from the State Department and Department of Defense. Everybody puts their little cut. I want the president to mention this. I want him to say that, whether he uses it or that's what finally gets there. But they all know and they all prepare. I've worked on them myself when I worked on the NSC staff. You know the process. They know the process. Schiff knew the process. I'm convinced it was Schiff's people who wrote that. He was able to come out weeks before the complaint was even filed and tweeted about things that were in it and everything. He knew damn well what it was. This was a setup, just like the Russia collusion, the dossier. This is how they do it.
Let me give you a hypothetical. If next week, let's say the sides came together and we resolved the Ukraine phone call, the Zelensky, it was a misunderstanding, Jim. And it was resolved in the public space next week, let's say, okay? What do you think happens then? How many hours would it be till the next charge is in play and the next crisis? Because there has not been 1 week, not one single week, where these two groups have worked together in any capacity for the last several years. I mean, go back before that, but certainly. So what happens if we resolve this? Do you think they then begin to work together, Jim? Or do you think that they come up with another crisis, the left?
Oh, they've already got the next crisis in the works. It's already being drafted. They may have it already written, ready to go.
So how long do they keep going?
I'm sure. Well, they're never going to work together.
Right, so they're never going to work together. So what's happening
this,
is...
This group is never going to work this president.
All right,
and if he gets reelected, if he gets... After he's going to get reelected, after the reelection, they're not going to work with him. And this is why I think we talked about it on a previous show. The president has written off the House. Unless the Republicans can get some strong conservative types in there and take control of the House, the House is worthless to this president.
You're talking about for the next election cycle, you mean?
Yeah, going all the way up to 2024. It's of no use.
Unless the American people come to the realization of how bad it is with what you and I are talking about right now, Jim, unless the American public, now hear this process out that I'm going to explain to you. Unless we hit the American public right between the eyes with this truth, I mean, if they don't get what we're talking about right now, then the House will never flip, and then everything else is in danger as well. But if the public is going to really recognize the problem and the crisis and all of these things and the corruptness that have happened here, then I would say, how are they going to get that truth? How do we get that truth to the public? We have no help from the media across the board. It's relied to outfits like America Out Loud and other conservative type groups, and they're far and few in between, to get the truth out there. So then you have to say, well, then why don't, back to, you know, a moment ago, you were talking about some of the president's right-hand support, Jim. You know, you said some senators, some congressmen. You're right. There are some strongholds there. There are a lot of weak points as well, clearly, within it. And a lot of them, as you and I talked about, Jim, have jumped the ship, right? A lot of them have already jumped ship and left office, correct? You know, right?
Correct, absolutely.
A lot of Republicans, yeah. So, you know, we got to see that as well for what it is. But, you know, I was watching the last day or two here, Devin Nunes and the fire in his eyes. Of course, Devin Nunes gets pretty fired and pretty empowered and outraged because he sees what's going on, as many others do as well. Many others, the Freedom Caucus, you can see a lot of those guys, or they got fire in their eyes because they know what's going down. They know there's a coup right happening. And they're scrambling on the side, but we continue to play defense on all these accusations they throw at the right, that the left is famous for doing it. So at some point, how does the right collectively get their program together? I mean, we got a war in front of us. I mean, what will it take? Will it take maybe a request for national airtime? Is it maybe they need to buy, maybe they buy an hour of or 2 hours of national network airtime on all the networks? Maybe that's the best investment the GOP can do, is buy prime time airtime. Maybe that, think about that, for 2 hours on all the networks across the board. Buy it. Pay them the money, and then get on there and present the case. Advertise this, present the case to the American people from, every bit of fraud that we're talking about, Jim. Fraud, 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 fraud. And here's the next one, the Zelensky phone call. How many more are there going to be to the American public? And when is enough enough? I mean, at some point, when do we kind of stop this merry-go-round from getting dizzy, where we're all losing our grip here and we're losing our brain cells in the process?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, so Jim, you've been seeing it as well. I'm not a big believer in polls or any of that, but another one they're all talking about, let me put it that way, with a Quinnipiac University poll shows the numbers that, and they're building, they're saying momentum has changed in the country and that support of Trump impeachment has grown or flipped by 10 points inside of a week. Do you believe that?
To be perfectly honest, first off, being that it's a Quinnipiac poll, I really don't put any credence in Quinnipiac. I don't think they've had a poll correct. And if you go back to the 2016 election,
I don't think any of them.
They were off. And here's a theory I have, and it's just a theory. You know what? A lot of people are saying, you want to do an impeachment? Bring it on. Do it. Because you're going to make fools of yourself by doing it. And I think there's a lot of people are saying, yeah, bring it on. We'll see. Let the impeachment reveal the truth of what's really there. And so I think if there was any credence to whether a poll was right, that it's increasing where Americans want to see are supporting impeachment, I think it might be from that grounds. Of course, there are those on the left who are just out for blood and they just see the impeachment as the way to go to remove Trump. The other thing about impeachment, and I watched this last night on one of the news channels, most Americans still do not have a clue what impeachment means. Most people think, oh, impeachment means you throw the person out. Well, impeachment is basically an admonishment by the Congress of you. Bill Clinton was impeached, but he wasn't thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Johnson was impeached, but he wasn't thrown out. The only two impeachments in the history of the country. Mm-hmm. The media manipulates people on how they think, because they look at Richard Nixon, who wasn't impeached. He resigned before the articles of impeachment were formed and were enough to do it. But the writing was on the wall and he resigned. He was resigned as a result of a pending impeachment. But.
Well, the problem is, again,
there's a big misconception of what it is.
Well, the misconception is they take these polls, though, again, and they beat the drum hard and they continue to beat it. And then now I'm telling you, because I've seen it on all the networks for the past couple of days. And that one poll they're now pushing with the fact that Americans are turning against the president. That's the narrative of that. You see how it's used. And by the way, Jim, that's even including Fox News, as well as all of the others. All of them are doing it. So that's the problem. That's the fight we have against this whole truth from ever coming out. How do you win?
Well, they're going to use impeachment in the court of public opinion.
That's right.
Despite, you know, here's what's going to happen. Hypothetically, let's say the House is able to bring forth articles of impeachment and they go forward with a full-blown impeachment process within the House. Mm-hmm. And let's say, obviously, the House has the numbers and they say, we vote to impeach Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay. They get to say, we impeached Donald Trump.
That's
the
right.
U.S. House
That's
Representatives right. has impeached Donald Trump. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are words on a piece of paper that that piece of paper says, you know, 220 to 190 or whatever the number is, the House votes to impeach Donald Trump. It's words on paper. It does nothing.
It's not even the admonishment.
It still has to go to the Senate.
Yeah, but it's the same thing we did to Clinton. It's the same thing we did to Bill Clinton. Same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing.
Trump would get the same thing Bill Clinton got.
Well, that's
it. Do you ever hear that Bill Clinton got impeached? Nobody even knows that.
Well, he would be the third president in the Republic to officially be impeached if that happened again. But again, right. I still question, Jim, how they played the game. If they played the game to win, and they're moving fast now on this, which we talked about earlier, and they push it to the Senate, and if Mitch McConnell plays the cards right and he starts calling in all these witnesses, drumming up all this information, I think that's going to become a real problem for them, isn't it?
It's a problem for the Democrats.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And it's going to hurt them, I believe, in the election, because it's going to anger people who want to see them do their job as members of the U.S. Congress. They don't want them playing this game of not doing anything. Right. And this is why I've said, and we've talked about it before and in previous shows, Trump knows that. And Trump has pretty much written off the House. He says, I can run the country, I can get things done, and he's getting things done with the Senate and with the courts. And this is the other thing that the Democrats want him out of there. They're scared to death of what Trump might get in the next 4 years. He could potentially put two more Supreme Court justices on the court.
Absolutely.
And that will change everything for decades. Yeah. And they're scared to death of that. That is the biggest problem they're dealing with is they can't have him have that say. And as long as he has got the majority in the Senate, he is going to be able to put, you know, at least two more conservative judges on the Supreme Court. And that changes everything for them. That's right. That's the real strategic problem they have.
All right. I want to talk about the timing on this impeachment specifically. So President Trump retweeted a tweet from Maria Bartiromo, which says this. This is why the Democrats are ramping up, is what Maria says. They know this is coming. This is the biggest scandal we have ever witnessed. And it was an article from the Daily Caller, by the way. And the report in the headline, Jim, was this. AG Barr is ramping up his probe of CIA FBI activities in 2016. And I want to read you this excerpt from this. It says, as the Department of Justice has previously announced, a team led by U.S. Attorney John Durham is investigating the origins of the U.S. counterintelligence probe of the Trump 2016 presidential campaign. Department spokesman Kerry Kupek told Politico in a statement, Mr. Durham is gathering information from numerous sources, including a number of foreign countries. As Attorney General Barr's request, the president has contacted other countries to ask them to introduce the Attorney General and Mr. Durham to appropriate officials. Now, what's all interesting about this, and the reason I read this, is there's a lot of talk about his calls with Australia, and his calls with Italy, and his calls to Neptune and Venus, and there was even another galaxy that was quoted at one point, Jim. So the president is not able to call any countries, planets, or galaxies. I don't know if you know that. It's illegal. And so that's all referenced in here as well. And so I find this interesting. So I wanted to talk to you about the timing of this impeachment, because I think, as you started to hint toward earlier, I think it's safe to say that they know there's going to be a big shoe dropping soon. Do you think this is part of the reason of the timing of this impeachment by chance?
Absolutely. That's why I go back to the minute they saw the movement by the administration, by the Trump administration, towards Ukraine, they knew Trump was on to the whole deal of what they've been involved with. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's a process, and the president was going through that process. Then they saw arrangements being made, and trust me, it's not, you don't find out about this when you're inside government by reading it on the front page of the New York Times or Washington Post. You know days, weeks, months in advance something is in the works, because the arrangements are made and the schedules are set for people like Barr and John Durham to travel to Italy, to travel to Australia, to travel to Ukraine, to travel to meet with other officials from those countries in other countries. That's, you know, that's the writing on the wall. They see all that. And when they see that, they say, uh-oh, Trump and his folks know what's going on. They're on to us. So that's why I said, as soon as Zelensky was, you know, installed as the new president of Ukraine, I guarantee that whistleblower dossier report was written. They had to find out how they were going to put it through to make it look legitimate. They did. They got somebody to go put it through. And then, you know, they all know a phone call's coming now. And again, people talk, you know, call them spies, call them leakers, whatever they are. People know what's going to be in those presidential phone calls inside. And
right.
And sure enough, you know, Schiff and Pelosi knew full well what was going on. So they implemented this whole thing, which they hadn't worked. And like I said a few minutes ago, you know, they've got 3.0 and they've got 4.0. They've got everything lined up if they need to use something going all the way up until the election. And I guarantee when Trump gets reelected, they're still going to go after him through his next term. If you think it stops in November next year, 2020, it's not going to stop. They're going to go after him. But at the same time, Trump is now a lame duck president. He's not going to run. He can't run for reelection. He's going to go use the powers of the presidency like you've never seen. And that's where I believe that's where the heads will roll. And that's what they're afraid of. He needs one. I keep telling people he needs one scalp to validate that. In fact, things are different now under this president and heads are going to roll and someone's going to get indicted, whether it's McCabe or Clapper or somebody. He'll get one scalp at least before November, because it's going to take that long to
before
get
before this
that.
November. You mean
before November 2020, before the election?
So before the
well
election.
Before the election.
Okay. What's ironic is now we're pushing Durham. We got all this going. We're playing a little offense over there, but the media doesn't report any of this, Jim.
They can't afford to report it because they know Trump's right. They know Durham and Barr.
None of us being talked
about. Are doing what's needed to be done. They're as scared to death of it as the Democrats. They're on defense with the Democrats. That's what they're doing. They're going to push the Democrat narrative as far as they can. You know, I see a couple little articles now and then in the New York Times. I don't know if it's their way of saying, well, we are fair and balanced. We did cover this or we did say this.
I don't.
they're saying a few things. I mean, all of a sudden they're reporting now, you know, there's an uptick in the investigation on Hillary's emails. That's I found that interesting. I said, okay, this is serious. Maybe they have enough now that they are going to go after her. And you know, we've talked about it before. This all leads back. The single biggest thing is you make Obama's presidency invalid. You don't give him a legacy. You're not going to get rid of him or throw him in jail. But you basically reveal to the country, this is what far left socialist ideas do to a country. This is why they destroy a country. This is why we had to rebuild everything that Obama had tore down for his last 8 years.
Well, and the other lesson out of that is if you're fortunate enough to not only run for president, but win the presidency, the lesson I get out of that, Jim, is that pretty much always you get a free pass, because you always comment afterward when you say that, as well as everybody does, that, well, he'll never go to jail because we don't put, you know, past presidents jail. Boy, it's something warped about all that, Jim. It's like, you know, it's like a free pass to corrupt, huh? To corruption, you know? Think about it, huh?
Well, it's what happened when we went, you know, we created, well, I wouldn't say we created, it evolved into this establishment where you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
Right.
And
right.
We're never going to, none of us will ever go to jail. This is the Republican in name
pretty
only
much.
Establishment along in bed with the Democrats. You know, this is your Paul Ryans and the likes of them who never did anything.
Well, another product of this this republic. But I got to tell you what, you're in any other country and you mess up like that, leader, you know they're going to throw you in the slammer, Jim. You're going to end up in jail, and in some countries they'll hang you. But here we give them a pass, right? They can build those mansions on the waterway, more or less. There's something so perverted about the whole thing here. And the bizarre point, Jim, again, with the media, there is no winning about it at all. And one last point, Jim, I want to make with you here is you mentioned earlier about the arms that Schiff is buying. I don't want that to be lost on anybody either, because there's a hell of a point there when you talk about the payoffs. You know, I always question everybody out there. Why is it the politicians get rich? They don't get rich. You don't become a multimillionaire many times over based on $150,000, $170,000 a year in salary. You know that. That's not how you get rich. You get rich with all these payoffs and deals. And when you mentioned earlier Schiff, we didn't have a chance to zone in on that, but that was another big point because, and you mentioned Pelosi was doing it too, right, Jim? I mean, Pelosi was doing it as well, right?
Well, you know, we're going to keep peeling back the onion. They're all doing it.
That's it.
And, you know, you have to go back and you have to look at, okay, what was the reason they did it? What did they get in return? You know, how did it help them? You know, I look at it as, you know, what really worries me is the process in which they do it. And you can't take money from any foreign entities, mm-hmm. but these people have figured out a way how to make it work. And even Biden people, and I think it might have been his son, I was reading an article the other day that talked about, we figured out ways how to take money for them so that we don't have to report it to the Federal Election Commission, which is where everybody right. gets in trouble when they take foreign money or they take more money than they should from a donor. Those are these people, and when I say people, Republicans and Democrats, they always look to go beyond what the law says. They're always looking for a loophole. They're always looking for a way, how can I take this money? How can I ingratiate myself without getting in trouble? And so there's always that dishonest factor where they don't want to play by the rules. They just want to look for a way to do it. And then at the same time, always have a cover up on how to hide their tracks and what they're doing. And so, you know, these are the kind of things where when you see people like Adam Schiff who come out and are pointing the finger at people like Trump and over a phone call, who's, you know, and trying to do due diligence and making sure American taxpayer money is spent wisely, while he's at the same time as taking money from corrupt arms dealers and what have you, and using it for his reelection, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. that's the hypocrisy, and that's where they need to be. You know, that's what needs to take them down is their dishonesty and their corrupt mentality and how they're doing things. That's the real problem.
Well, it is the problem. And the other big problem is that whatever they accuse the other side of, whatever they point out and all these accusations and defamatory talk is typically exactly what they're doing. This is projectionism at its highest level, and they do it very, very well. It's an art form, and the political elite they've mastered that art form. They should all get world-winning degrees or some sort of a prize in that. That's the one thing they've got licked here, people. There, I started this conversation today, people, talking about how bizarre it is, but it's bizarre only in this real world of, you know, those who want an honorable government. But you have anything but that right now. When you look at the corruption that Jim and I just spoke about over the last hour with you, it is it's beyond the pale here, really. And you know, I start thinking about it. What are we doing here? You know, what am I doing here? Yeah, we're trying to get some truth out, I guess, is what we're trying to get out, isn't it now, people, huh? It's important. I mean, you've all got to do your part as well, friends. We can only do our part and bring it to you here at America Out Loud. Now, the platform, again, is, it's, I mean, an amazing place of patriots and people who care passionately about the nation. There's no doubt about it. That's the place you need to be, and you need to push this out there. People need to read. They need to listen. They need to watch. They need to pay attention. And we need to get to the rest of the people who are not paying attention, or for the most part, those others who are paying attention to all of this corrupt media. I think that's the biggest takeaway I get. And the most alarming thing to me is the corruptness in the media channels and the lack of a fourth estate. It's beyond anything I would ever imagine in this country. So when we talk about, you know, well, what's the left doing, that's not even the biggest problem. It's the fact that people are brainwashing people and the media is going along with it. And friends, that is more than perverted and bizarre. It is un-American and it's sick. It's time, friends, to get involved and get loud.